NRP Episode 7, The Posh Panda and Dorimingu. I know it's been a while since the last episode, so this weekend I put out the notice on Twitter. I said, hey, anybody want to do a podcast? And luckily, two of my friends, Jordan and Amanda, a.k.a. Dorimingu and the Posh Panda, decided to stop by for a chat, so I edited this one down, and hopefully it's a fun chat. I'm going to make a small announcement and a few other things, so enjoy. Hey guys, what's happening?
Right now?
Definitely not evil things.
I have an Italian hoagie here.
That sounds pretty evil. Mm. I mean, Posh is working on a doomsday machine and everything, but you know, hoagies still.
Doomsday is that the
hoagie.
Is that the same doomsday that you're planning on melding with the Cabot?
It may or may not be related. I have to go through a lot of beta stages.
Beta testing. Like that. Yeah. Have you tried that free video game where you can make your own space program and build rockets and launch them into space and unintentionally or intentionally kill your entire flight crew?
No.
Is it like,
but it sounds interesting.
It sounds like Sims in Space.
Yeah, I can't. Let me just. I was going to Google it, but then I had to do some stuff because, like, since I updated my operating system, I was worried, oh no, my recording apps might not work. And no, they work. They just. All the other faults that I usually have. Let's see. Space. I mean, it's a free game right now. Kerbal Space Program. Here, let me show you the site, because it's kind of cute. I'm hearing lots of typing.
You hear nothing.
I like how everybody else's keyboard is, like, you know, tapping on a log. Mine's just real tight and tiny.
They look like rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Or like a combination of like Raving Rayman and or
Lima Bean.
Something like that.
I was going to ask if it's the same company or.
I have no idea. It's in beta, so it's like free or. Well, I don't know if it's just free right now. It's, let's see, by Squad. And then there's a picture of a little monkey with sunglasses. You crazy bastard! I read your book. I don't know. I'm just free floating here, man, so I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting game. It's supposed to be for Windows. They're working on a Mac version. I got it to run in Wine, so I think it was Wine. I've got like 3 or 4 different options to try and get Windows stuff to run. And
yeah. I can't really do many video games on PC because I'm waiting for my own computer.
Ooh, then you can craft all the mines. What happened to your computer?
It got sold.
And you
without me knowing?
Wait, without you knowing? You mean it got stolen?
No, my roommate needed cash. It worked out. He got his own drive, so everything's still there.
Your roommate pawned your PC, is what you're saying?
Sold it to a person, so technically no, but yes.
Sold it to a person for the drugs. I mean.
That's kind of stealing, though, if they didn't give you the money for it.
Well, he watched the cats for, like, a year and a half, so I was out doing stuff.
You were just out for a year and a half, and he watched your cats?
Absolutely, yes.
And he's like, I'm just going to steal your PC and sell it now, because I'm entitled.
That's a long story. But anyways, I'm getting a new one for school, so it all works out. And I use his now, and I have, like, 800 gigs of Sims stuff, so...
Sims.
Yeah.
I've never been big on The Sims, because I don't like real people enough. Why would I want to play them in a game? I don't know.
You can set them on fire if you don't like them.
Well, you can do that in real life, too. It's just, you know,
you
there's more prison time.
You can't make Kolchak Wizard in real life.
Oh, man, I got plenty of Kolchak talk to fill up this stream, but we filled this call, which I'm recording now. I'm just going to edit out all the crap, so... But anyway.
Like 2 seconds. Hey, bye.
Hi, everybody. Now I've got a few things I'm unsure of. Can you guys hear the fan in the back of my room, or is that
Nope.
Okay, because this mic kind of isolates stuff, but what it really likes to isolate is the whistling noise from my nose. It's like I listen back to a recording of myself, and all I hear is... I'm like, what the crap? I'm already insecure about my voice, and now I've got that bothering me.
I can hear the hum of it, but only when you're not talking, so I guess it's just picking it up then, or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird, like, how Skype does it. Like, one person talks, and the other person talks, and they can never meet, between the two shall meet. It's like, one is the alpha voice signal, and then the other, yeah. Then I've got this headset, because my old one, the mic just died on it, and it was attached, so I... And I got the replacement model, which they, instead of the nice little, like, USB adapter thing, like, you could plug in whatever mic you wanted, it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, it built it into it like a brick, so it's, and it kind of made the head a little, like, you can move it a
size
little less.
Of a brick, the weight of a brick.
The heart and soul of a brick. She's a brick, and I don't know that song. Ben Folds, he's Crazy Cat, he did that album with William Shatner, that was great.
Suddenly it's NPR.
Hello, I'd like to talk to you about your sex lives. Can we talk about that for about 15 minutes? But we're going to talk to it in quiet, dulcet tones while I'm sipping tea with the pinky up. So, but yeah, I decided, I was looking at my website as I was fixing / breaking stuff, as I am wont to do, and I realized it'd been a long time since I'd recorded a podcast, and I was like, I should record one, but then I realized I'm an annoying person to listen to talk by myself. I don't want to hear that. So I thought I'd see who was interested. I put out the call on the Twitters and the Facebook and Google Plus, this, whatever. And today we're talking to... Can you guys introduce yourselves? Because I'm kind of...
I wasn't sure if you were going to do it or not.
I'm not exactly sure what everyone wants to go by. I know Posh / Amanda and Dory / Jordan. I don't know...
Yeah, I Dory Mingo is the screen handle that I think most people know me by, so... And they just usually call me Dory, but... That works fine. Like, Jordan is fine, too, because that's my real name. And I'm used to that, too.
Sounds like somebody's wrestling electronics, like, it's all kind of crackling and stuff.
Well, that's what happens when you're in bad science. I'll just go by Amanda.
Okay.
Or the Posh Panda, I don't know.
The Posh Panda. The Posh Panda, things not like a Posh Panda, but
the Posh Panda.
Definitive.
Yep.
The Bart, the.
I'm in a full suit right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. But anyway... So, let's see, what were we talking about? We were talking about the Kerbal Space Program game. Is it Kerbal or Kerbal? I don't know how you'd pronounce that.
Kabbalah Space Program.
See, I am horrible with pronouncing and enunciating things. Like, you know, I thought Mormon Tabernacle was Tabernacle for a while, because I was like, no, that has to be spelled, pronounced differently. No, it's Tabernacle. I don't know. I can't enunciate worth crap. I don't know. My first year in school, they put me in speech therapy because they said I had, like, speech problems, and then I found out later that it was because my dad and his entire side of the family has an accent, and it all sounds like baby talk, and it's like, I could go into it when I'm talking to them, and then I step out, and I'm like, wait a minute, nobody talks like this. My dad's an interesting guy. He kind of talks like Crankshaft a little bit, like, he'll change words, and the more he says a word, the more he changes it, and it... Like, it started with, he used to catch me napping on my futon. Can you guys hear my mic slipping off my face?
Oh, yeah.
I would be napping on my futon, and he'd come in and he'd say, are you taking a nap on your... He couldn't say futon, he would say, futon, and then pontoon, and then... I'm like, a pontoon's a boat, Dad. I'm pretty much not on water here.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I grew up split between Virginia and New York, and I switched back a couple of times a year for summer and everything, so whenever I came back for a couple of weeks, it was either I talked like a Yankee or like a hick, depending on which state I was in.
Yes, see, I've grown up and lived in Western Pennsylvania, so I don't notice my accent. I know there is one, because everyone says, oh, Western PA, that's, you know, like, I mean, I know Pittsburghese. I've heard what is it, Yinz and G-Jet and all that stuff. And I had one friend actually like look at me odd once when I said, "Oh, it's just things and that and things and that." And he's like, "I have never actually heard someone say and that." And
gnats.
And yeah, like N apostrophe AT is a shortening that Western Pennsylvanians and Pittsburghers specifically use a lot.
Pittsburgher sounds delicious. I lived in Pittsburgh for a year, and my dad, every time he would complain about it, he was like, "Oh, this place is a ghetto." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Dad?" I'm like, "You know, you could hear banjo music if you visit my dad." It's like, "This is not right. This ain't right." Oh. I mean, I have relatives that sound like Boomhauer, so I'm like, "You should really be talking." I'm like, "You're just mad because you came to visit one time and couldn't find a public bathroom. That's what it is. You had to walk up and down the street and couldn't find one."
No public bathrooms for anybody in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania at all. You have to bring your own or know someone there.
Bring your own bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah, well, have you ever been to New Jersey where you can't pump your own gas?
What?
Yeah, no. The gas station attendant has to pump it. It's against the law for you to pump your own gas. I'm like, great way to squeeze out some tax money. Just, nope, somebody has to get paid to help to put that pump in your thing and then just wait for it. Because you don't have to hold it. You just sit in there and they wait.
Just lock it down.
Yeah, they're just like, "Yeah, it's cold out here, isn't it?" Yep, mm-hmm. Last time I was in New Jersey for a wedding, I only heard the New Jersey accent one time, and it was from like a guy who was like visiting from another part of the state.
It's funny, like, I've talked to people from all over, and the people from Jersey most adamantly deny that they have an accent, even though it's one of the most obvious accents.
Well, one of the most obvious accents is the Canadian accent, which I've talked to a number of Canadians, and they'll just slip into it. They don't care. Like, you know, they're used to talking to Yanks, I guess, which is weird because we're southern to them, but I don't know. But they're used to talking to us and, like, you know, I'll be talking to one, all of a sudden they'll just slip in an A at the end of the sentence. Like, "I've been talking to people in town. I'm sorry. Can't help it." A boot? A? It's like, yeah, you enunciate all those O's and U's that we don't use. So, anyways. fun. So, what's been up with you guys since we've been doing, we did the Skype flicks last week, was it? An impromptu one?
Yes.
Or you guys have been doing impromptu ones at night while I've been... when I've gone to bed already.
Well, Dory's been big on that. He wants to watch like all the good
fun.
Guys.
Well, let's explain to the listeners what exactly a Skyflix is. We all get together on Skype and we all go to Netflix and we watch a show or movie or several shows and
two movies. And
yeah, we just start commenting on how crazy this is because
usually via chat, not actually talking on the conference call because it's hard to hear.
Well, we don't talk over the movies. No, that's
just
verboten.
Type over it.
That's one, like, every once in a while somebody will press the call button and everyone's like, "What's going on?"
I'm usually scared. Someone new would start panicking, crying in the corner.
"Somebody hold me." The Skype, it rang and a voice answered. It sounded like a dude.
But yeah, my dad was looking over the Netflix and he's like, "Oh, hey, they have The Good Guys." And that just reminded me how great The Good Guys was, and I've been wanting to show it to people, so.
Yeah.
Because what we usually watch, like, we started doing this because Bad Movies About Raptors has been kind of
hiatus.
Because Jerry's been busy doing all kinds of things to try and make money, and, you know, good for him. And I'm glad he's doing productive, and he's doing a lot of artwork and stuff, so. He's busy doing all kinds of stuff. He's a busy man. He's a renaissance man, I believe they call him. But since it's been on Hayes, and we all been like, we want to sit and talk about bad movies and watch them. It's not to do Saturday nights. So we start going on Skype and everybody watching it. It's kind of sad sometimes when somebody comes on and doesn't have a Netflix account. It's like, you're one of them, huh?
You're like, everyone snickers behind their IMs.
I didn't have it until somebody signed on my thing. I thought I had all my sounds to go through my headphones. Nope. Always one sound output. Shaking fist in rage. It's an emote there. But,
so we started doing the Skyflix thing.
Yeah, we started doing that, and I didn't get Netflix until, like, this summer when my mom was complaining about cable prices and stuff, and I was like, "Well, you know, we can just... I'd really like to try Netflix. It's like everybody's talking about it, and, you know, all the cool kids and everything." So I
was this right before? Right before the price hike or after?
Well, before. Like, it happened. It's like, well, I only want to do streaming anyway. It's like, I really have no interest in physical DVDs anymore. It's like, I just want to watch them, and I just want to stream them, and really, I don't want to wait in the mail for something. That's...
Yeah, see, I had to do... Like, I actually did a speech for a class about it, and the whole plan behind it is very sound. It's just one of the things that a lot of people are upset about is, I think, is just how they handled it. Because
it's like, hey guys, guess what? You're going to have to pay us more. It wasn't like released as like, hey guys, we're going to be increasing the inventory. Oh, but you might have to pay a little extra. You know.
Yeah, they
snuck out behind them. They didn't jump in front of it is what it was. Like, they didn't announce it. It got leaked out.
Yeah, and then when people complained about it, they're like, well, them's the breaks.
That's what happens, kids. Them's those movies, and it's like, I don't know. But, like,
talk about New 60. I remember when they hiked up Netflix.
It's like, yeah, well, I mean, that's just another way to say, you know, physical DVDs are slowly going the way, I don't want to say the way of the dinosaurs, but the way of, like, the vinyl records and, you know.
Interest.
Yeah, people
who
want a certain
type of
thing.
If I really like it, I'll get the special edition.
I do kind of miss going to, like, movie rental places like the Blockbuster in the Hollywood videos and all that, but like I didn't like having to deal with anybody or anything. I just like being able to physically see the inventory and
see. Yeah. That's where I worked most of my high school years. My dad ran those things, and so he helped get me like a job there. So I was one of those cash I worked at the cash register when people would rent things, like the old video cassettes and like.
Oh, have you ever been to one of those places that only rents video cassettes? Like, you still can't get DVDs. Like, are there like specialty shops now, kind of like vinyl record stores? They're like a niche market.
I didn't know those still existed.
Well, there used to be one like down the road from my house that like it literally was just a house that like it. But people in it were running it as a video store, and now I don't know. Like, I think the Quick Stop from. All those Kevin Smith movies, I think it started, like, wasn't it just a place where you could only rent VHS? I don't think they ever went to DVD, or maybe they did now. I don't know. It's been 20-something years.
if I don't know. I don't think they ever made, like, a point about it, whether it was just VHS or not. But then I haven't seen Clerks 2, so if he did a little bit about it in that.
Well, no. They didn't bother with anything like that in Clerks 2. But, yeah. VHS tapes and Way of the Dinosaurs. Have you guys tried Spotify, by the way?
No.
It's popular over in Europe and the UK and all that stuff, but it's kind of basically, for someone who hasn't used it, it's kind of like Grooveshark, except it's more iTunes-like, I guess you could say. Like, it's easier to find discographies and full albums, and the artists actually do commercials promoting it, like, hey, listen to my new record on this, and it's funny, I'll be listening to a playlist, and then it'll, you know, every so often it'll come out with an ad, and I'm like, what is this? This isn't what's on my playlist. Oh, it's an ad. Wow, I really don't listen to pop music at all, do I?
No, I hardly ever listen to the radio. I listen to Slacker.com. I have since high school, and all my music stuff right there.
I don't know. I've got my own playlist.
You can have stations by band or by type.
I've got my own playlists on iTunes, and for a while, there's a couple of bands I like, but I haven't bothered to get the CDs either because there's no place to get them around here, or I haven't bought a CD in a while. Like, I think the last one I bought was the new Foo Fighters, and that was just because I feel obligated to get every one of their releases. I like them, and they're one of my favorite bands, and even if I do stop buying CDs, I'm going to have to buy theirs, just like The Offspring, even though I need to get their last album. Anyway.
I think I still get CDs of some of the things that I like, and I'm trying to think. It's either the last one I got was Ludo, or I actually iTunes purchased Flood. The Might Be Giants, because it's like, why don't I have this already? I mean, I've listened to those songs thousands of times already.
Is that the one where they're singing to children about the wonders of science?
No, that's not Flood. The Flood's the one with Particle Man and Istanbul and
oh, the classics then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of their older classics.
They Might Be Giants, like, they're kind of a novelty band in a way, but it's like they've done everything. Like, you think about it, they do theme songs for TV shows for a long time. A lot of shows, like, just, you wouldn't realize it was them until someone. Oh, by the way, that was them. What? Like, they did the theme song to The Daily Show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did the theme to the Oblongs. They did Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, I loved that commercial for that they did for Courage the Cowardly Dog. Did you ever see the one they did for Dee Dee and Dexter? And
yeah, long time ago.
They made it like some like anime cartoon, like Speed Racer.
Oh yeah, you were linking those in the sync tube.
Yes. That's another thing for those who are listening. Not only do we do Skype flicks, but also sometimes we take videos from YouTube and put them on the sync tube thing so we can all watch them at one time without having to go, click, no, wait, I've got an ad. No, wait, mine doesn't. Nope. Wait, what? Countdowns are a little... I wish there was a way to do it with like Netflix where we could all sync up without having to do the countdown and somebody going, no, wait, I was in the bathroom.
Yeah. So. Or Jared pretending like he didn't click. Ugh, Jared.
What? That kid. Well,
I think they've only done that once. Jared and Damon did that once.
Somebody explained to me why he recommends watching Grey's Anatomy one night, and then every time we watch a Kolchak, he's like, no, I'll just wait till later. Excuse me? This is your tipping point that you're too bored to watch our great Kolchak, but we had to sit through your two-parter?
He asked me. He tried to clear it with me. He's like, yeah, I want this two-part TV thing. I was like, oh, it's like a mini-series or something. I did not know it was Grey's Anatomy. TV shows are not a thing. Like, they're before and they're after.
He just picked, like, the sixth season out of nowhere. It's like, none of us had watched that.
And the ending, everyone's getting shot. People were bleeding for no reason.
I expected, like, to see a child looking into a snow globe at the end or something. And
he walks out of a shower.
I felt dirty after watching that. I watched something on Netflix, I think. And then I have to go watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure because something has to flush this out.
That's why I started putting the faulty towers on, because they're always good for a cleanse.
Yeah, I kind of want to try and defend, but just because I think he's just rough around the edges, but he honestly did pick that to make us suffer, so...
He enjoys suffer.
Yeah, so...
He's like when Kolchak's boss has to stay in to get audited. You know, it's a special joy.
I can pick things that would make people suffer. I mean, I have seen some stuff. I'm the guy who sat through the Endurance BMAR where we watched Ilsa of the SS and Human Centipede and it was a bunch of movies where everyone was like, yeah, I'm gone, man.
And oh man, Caligula had way more dicks than I thought.
The only problem with that movie really was that it was too long. It was a fun movie. Too long, and it really, something like that should be on a bigger screen than, you know, where it was.
The beheading wall was cool.
Yes.
That beheading wall.
The wall of beheads. Now, you know what's funny is that, you know, that, who was that guy from Back to the Future? He had those three movies, the What Is It's? It's funny that, you know, people...
Crispin Glover.
It's funny that people enjoy his trilogy, but when we... But when we play Sweet Potato Pie?
Oh, I miss Sweet Potato Pie.
When we watched that one, that got people mad. That was the one that almost broke BMAR. People were like, I'm gone. This is offensive. This is too... No, it wasn't Sweet Potato Pie. It was, that was the same night we watched Sweet Potato Pie, and then we watched, what was that? Is that movie with Dante from Clerks, Balky from Perfect Strangers... And, who was it?
Oh, wait, no, I do remember watching Sweet Potato Pie.
What was that called now?
It was, Hooking Up, I think, was the name of it.
Yeah.
And it had, who was that last guy? Corey Feldman?
One of the Coreys.
Yeah. And that movie, man, I just... I was like, I don't know how to feel about this movie because it wants to be like three different films, and like he's a good actor. I have respect for what he's doing, but it's like this is really out of place in this movie. And like the guy who plays Dante is like, I'm just here for this teenage sexy romp, and it's like, what? I don't think you understand what movie you're in, man. The plot threads did not line up anywhere in that thing. But let's talk about some Kolchaks. For those who don't know, that it would be. Kolchak the Night Stalker is the name of the... Is that the name of the property and the series that we've been
it's
watching?
It's the name of the series, but not the name of the movies.
Well, the movies were... Like, one was like the Night something...
Night Bumbler.
The Night Stalker and the Night Strangler are, I think, the two movies.
And there is.
I looked it. Looked
well,
this up.
One's in like Hollywood, and the other. I mean, the series takes place in
Vegas?
Chicago. Yeah. The first one's in Vegas, and then I think he's in Hollywood in one of them, or I don't know.
I think the second one is like one of the victims from the first one becomes a vampire.
Oh.
So it's like in that general area of Vegas, but not. Like the, it was like
it's supposed to be the second movie is supposed to be the next Bad Movies About Raptors movie,
and that's been on hold for
Well,
last time you got shirtless Kolchak, so what do you want?
Not shirtless Kolchak.
But for people that are curious, Kolchak is a reporter who goes. he's a supernatural crime guy because like he doesn't mean to. He's writing news stories, and for some reason, vampires show up. Werewolves, mummies,
start throwing people around.
Yeah, and
aliens in that one episode.
Well, that was like the Indiana Jones 4 of Kolchak.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, this doesn't what? No, I don't know how to feel about this. This is.
Yeah. Oh wait, what about the robot one too?
I like the robot.
They tried to mix it up, not just the.
Yeah,
well, they kind of run out of ideas. Like you can only do so many like ghosts, goblins, and demons. They're like, well, it wasn't like. It wasn't like today where they would go like a Buffy or an Angel route with it and go, okay, we're going to explore this weird Mayan myth. And, you know, it's like him. It's more like Scooby-Doo. It's like, what thing can I get in on, guys? And the best thing about this that series is, like, Kolchak himself is a horrible person. Like,
he's a smug bastard.
He is a horrible person. Like, he's the hero. Like, I put that in quotes because, like, I like that they make him an unlikable person. But they take him like I can understand him being like the jerk, and everyone's like, "Oh, we love to hate that guy." He is generally not good. He is like, even as like a main character, it's like, what? How does he doesn't lead this show? Stuff just happens around him, and he just walks.
He's
in
only nice to one person, Miss Emily.
Oh, well, who isn't nice to Miss Emily? Yeah. Except the time he killed her. But
yeah,
that was
the time he shot her with a crossbow.
Well, that was just a Rick Sasha just messing with him.
That show, like, every time you turn it on and watch something on it, it's really... they pull something out, like, that episode where he shot the old lady has, like, swastikas all over, and you're just like, wow, this would not get on TV. Like, and everybody
actually,
they talk to is, like, a stereotypical Jew.
Well, yeah, there's that. But
I like how Shannon expressed it. Like, all the Jews in this show happen to be New York Jews, quote-unquote.
Yeah, they're all from Brooklyn.
But what I realized it, I think at the same time as some other people, was like it was supposed to be the other sideways swastika, which is
supposed to be old
protection.
Except it kept flipping and flopping because they didn't know which way to keep it. I'm like,
he did not do research very good.
But didn't an X-Files do something with that too? Like I kind of remember there was like a kid was being like,
well, X-Files had an episode about recording the word of Jesus on a pot. So, say what you will. Yeah.
And also, Kolchak really inspired the X-Files.
Kolchak
got a lot of the same creepy things happen, and then nobody else sees it but the main character.
The thing is, when you watch the Kolchak, like, you watch the opening credits on that show, and it sets up really what it's like. That show is very bipolar. It, like, it starts off looking like it wants to be Murder, She Wrote, but then it gets really dark and creepy and serious, and it's like, but look at his face. Yeah, it's like he comes in whistling and singing and type, the murder, death, body, death, you know.
And everything just freezes.
Flash, clock, fan.
And then that freeze frame of the eyes, and it's like, wow, what? This show is, it doesn't know what's, because like, if they just played it one way or the other, but it's such extreme, like, it goes, he's being a smug, woman-hating whatever, and then he's supposed to take it seriously, like, she should have planned on staying alive, and I'm like, what? Did they seriously?
This was her last show.
See, when he does the voiceovers, I think this is what he actually writes down somewhere. This isn't him narrating, this is him writing a
This
story.
Is him talking into that tape recorder he's obsessed with, like, he thinks that someday they're gonna find his tape recorder and realize what a great guy he is. Because really, every episode ends with, like, you didn't do anything, you set that entire house on fire, that everybody died, how is
you
anything...
You burned down an orphanage!
You're not helping,
Kolchak!
Every time he does something, I'm just reminded of that episode of C-Lab 2021 with the alternate bizarro creatures and the one jumping up and down going, I'm helping, no, stop. stuff burns.
Yeah, it's my guess that he must be an incredibly good writer, and that's why anyone tolerates him.
Well, because he's always having women write his stories for him, like when he got on ship with the werewolf.
Yeah. But I mean, like when he actually sits down and writes a story, it's like, oh, okay, this is a good story.
Well, no, nobody likes his stories because his editor's like, this is crap, Kolchak, I'm going to fire you. But
about supernatural things, and he's like, I'm not putting supernatural things in the paper.
Wouldn't they, like, after a while, shouldn't they just go with it? Like, I recognize during the movie, like, during the first movie, he's like, this is supernatural crap. I'm a reporter, not a crazy guy. But then once he gets into, like, you know, chicken's blood and making steaks and everything that he does on the show, it's like, why doesn't he just do that as his angle now? Why is he bother going to crime scenes and stuff? Why doesn't he just go, I'm the crazy supernatural reporter dude? It's like,
I'm wondering how he's able to keep credibility, though. That's the thing. Like, well, apparently, that's what he's trying to do, keep credibility.
Well,
but
it is 70s Chicago, too. Yeah, like, that's the best part about the show, is, like, it's like a... I know at the time it was made, you know, it's not, unlike Scooby-Doo and stuff, which can happen really any time, they just look funny. Kolchak takes place in 70s Chicago. There is no mistake about this. Like, I half expect him to have some 70s live-action guy just, you know, historical point, like some political comment, like, hey, guys, I won the last election. What?
Well, the thing is, you gotta think, he only writes a couple of those crazy stories a year, like during a heat wave or during a cold snap or whatever the weather's being.
There is no consistent, like, I don't understand, like, we discussed this with Jerry before, where it was like, he's like, in the 70s, there was no consistency, stuff just happened. But it's like, how do you have an episode about Christmas, and then the very next episode's a heat wave? I'm like, do they just run that back to back? Like, is there no actual Christmas episode on this show?
Yeah, I think he was right about the fact that I don't think there was like any continuity editors like that.
Stuff
like,
just happened.
That a lot of shows and sitcoms and that. Well, certain like weekly shows didn't really have someone who.
Well, I understand that they produce the show like weeks and months in advance, but like, how do you make, you know, get your footage of the snow and then get your footage of a heat wave town? And it's like,
that's library stock footage.
Yeah, it is all of it's
movie footage. Magic.
They took a helicopter around the city twice a year and just used that all the episodes.
I know. I want to just in my brain believe that Kolchak actually inhabits 1970s Chicago. It's like. Like, if I got in a time machine like, the you know, like Doctor Who or something, I would be there, and he would show up, and that would be Doctor Who and Kolchak having a battle or something, or teaming up to fight solve a mystery. That would be great.
One of the things that put out the comics for him have Kolchak and Sherlock Holmes working together.
Yeah, I've heard about that, I think.
I haven't gotten it or taken a look at it, though, and I know there's one where Kolchak faces off against Cthulhu, too. Like,
you know, I'm surprised
I mean, they're obviously, like, fan fiction comics and stuff like that, but it's still something I'd like to see, like, just to see what it's like. I've read one of the comics. It actually feels a lot like the show, so...
I've heard good things about the comics. Yeah. Like, I've seen the art, and it looks really good.
Yeah, like, the one I read about, I think it was called Fever Pitch, was based off of one of the stories that he didn't actually didn't get a chance to produce on the TV show. So, like, the script and, like, this whole thing was set.
It was kind of like a Buffy season 8 or whatever kind of thing, where like it was a leftover idea, so it was kind of in the same thing. That works. Yeah, Kolchak is. You know, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's picked up in popularity with all the Skype Flicks people, because like when I watched it, like I first got Netflix and first things I watched was like Toy Story 3 because it was on, and then I was like, hey, this Kolchak thing looks. I'm like, this guy is horrible and this show is zany. And then I showed it to people, and everybody loves it. It's like he's a horrible person. He mistreats women. They do all kinds of racist stuff just on the sly.
Yeah.
See, unfortunately, Kolchak, like when I first watched it, I wasn't sure, but then I realized the whole basis behind it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can get on board this, because I'm a horrible, like, fan of the supernatural detective thing. Like, Hellblazer and John Constantine are, like, one of my favorite types of comic characters that I have been following for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's not as, you know, caustic as that, but or heavy, it's still in the same vein.
Yeah, it's like I said before, it's a very bipolar show. Like, there's times where it's very, you know, supernatural, and there's others where it's like, campy sitcom, and he's, like, fumbling in the night.
There's the 10-minute section where he has to bumble around in the dark, break a camera and or a mirror, fall over something.
Set something on fire, get somebody killed.
Didn't we complain when, like, someone was like, you broke two cameras this year alone, and people were like, he broke more than two, and I'm like, well,
there's
cameras owned by the company.
Well, there's no continuity, and two, maybe he's like Kurt Cobain and fixed every camera after he broke it.
That's why it breaks so easy.
It's weird how it got very popular with people, and then, like, I found out that there was that 2008 series with that guy that, like... Yeah, he's... I don't know. He's not... He doesn't
that
quite...
That vampire in that movie with Aisha was...
I heard they digitally added McGavin into the 2008 series, though.
I kind of want to see that. But why would they have to add it? Didn't he just die, like...
recently? No, because he didn't want to be in it.
Oh.
And so they just digitally added his life.
Okay, now I want to see it even more.
Yeah, like, he If I remember... If the article I read was, like, correct, they digitally added him, you know, as... the old style Kolchak, so he's got the suit and the hat and everything, and he's looking like right at the camera, like giving a winking nod or something like that. So they
a dream sequence or like what
justification? I don't know. It's at some point where the new Kolchak guy is actually walking through the news office, and it's just someone in the background, like he's placed somewhere in the background as an extra.
Okay, that's so, you know, I want to say this sounds like Juan Valdez standing over the burrow, but it sounds more like in that Last Action Hero where they have Bogey in the police station just turning around with all the other cops. It's like, oh, why did you spend millions of dollars to do this once? But I guess, I don't know. I guess it sounds better than, like, on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, Angel, whenever they would have Buffy come back and they had to use stock footage and, like, she wouldn't redub anything, so, like, they had to use obvious outtakes and... It's like, that's not her. That's a dude holding a wig.
Not even wearing it, just holding it.
Well, like a bed stick. Well, there was one scene on Angel where he has a dream that Spike is having sex with Buffy, and you can really tell it's like some chick, and she's got like a blonde wig, and there's a dub over of the voice from Buffy, and I'm like, this is, come on, really? Is this necessary?
I want to see what Johnny Depp does with Kolchak. I mean, I know he bought the production rights, but is he going to be Kolchak?
You know what? I think, in my opinion, I think he could do it. I think
I could see him
in that role. I don't think he wants to, but if he did, man, that would be so... Because it's the kind of property where, like, apparently a lot of people really liked it and watched it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Serenity. It just, everyone liked it, but then it just went away.
Yeah, it only ran for two seasons and had those movies. And then there's the comic book and just sporadic stuff, but, like, no one's done anything, like, regular with it.
Have you seen Secret Window?
Nope.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays... he can play creepy so well.
I think the thing is, he's too, like, pretty. Like, Kolchak is not a pretty man.
Kolchak, I believe by 70s standards, he was like, you know, like have you ever seen John Holmes? I mean, they're not, you know, not attractive person, but like, you know, just like, hey, whatever, you know, I'm here, let's do this. Yeah, like I think
he take the band.
Like, especially if you ever see, like, Dance remember star. the swinger ship and stuff? Like, he fit right in on that swinger ship in the 70s on the werewolf episode. You know, it's like he could have worked, and then like, but yeah, the Kolchak and the 2008 TV show or whatever. I don't know. I mean, when I Googled it to try and find video clips, like, I mean, it's online, but on YouTube, there's a lot of fan-made mashup videos where they take, like, pictures of Kolchak's character and some girl. They're, like, everyone's one true pairing of, you know, and they're playing the surf music or whatever, or, you know, it's... I'm like, I'm confused now, and I kind of want to see more, but... I did watch a little bit of the pilot episode of that online, and it's the first time Kolchak's on there, he's being a dick. So it's like, okay,
watching it and it being just really dark, and like I didn't care. Like, yeah, his wife died, whatever. You know, you're a dick.
That's what he's supposed to be. Kolchak is supposed to be a giant douche to everybody,
which is why I'm always constantly surprised that he actually does get rid of the monsters half the time.
Well, yeah, and half of everything else around.
Only occasionally does the monster actually pose a threat to him. He's just getting rid of it because it's harming other people, and that just seems to me like, why does he care about other people?
You know what I realized? When the monsters are like trying to grab him and stuff, it's like the drunken master. He's stumbling around so much, they can't judge his movements. So they just miss him when they
grab
him.
He's unpredictable because he's so inexperienced and horrible at what he does that they're just like, well, I've gone up against the greatest oh, wait, where are you going? What? You're curled up into a ball and peeing? I'm not expecting that.
Yeah.
So, Kolchak. So I'm hoping, like, I don't know, he got the rights to it, I guess, and who knows what I'm sure celebrities buy the rights to stuff all the time, so yeah. Who knows. But it would be nice to see that again. And I'll mention some more Kolchak stuff later on.
Yeah, I can't stop watching it, apparently.
But also, we watched SyncTube recently. We watched a bunch of old cartoons, which is good.
That was
fun. And I brought up the Russian Winnie the Pooh that nobody had seen.
That was so trippy, but that was awesome.
It was, you know, it's...
I really like the animation in that.
The animation, it's different, but still it's well done. And I like the attitude of the characters. Like, every so often, Winnie the Pooh just goes into, like, a soliloquy. He's like, well, what is life? I feel like a Peanuts character. I am sad, and yet, oh well.
Well, the odd thing is that that's pretty much exactly how the books were written.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Disney one was like that, too.
Yeah, it's just been a while since I've seen the Disney ones, but I, like... literally, like, only 3 months ago, read the old original Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, there wasn't all this stuff in there.
Yeah,
that Russian one, it was funny when he's like, Piglet, do you have a gun? Yes, and everyone's like, why does Piglet have a gun?
Pop gun.
Okay,
of course
well...
I have a gun.
It's Russia.
You know, it was...
It's a potato gun.
It was cute, though, like, they're speaking Russian, but in those little voices, it just sounds like video game character sounds, because, like, I don't speak any Russian other than, like, you know, Comrade and Dosvidanya or whatever, and, you know.
And the songs were very catchy.
Yeah.
Cute. Being in a different language.
Like, the little marching. it's a cute film. I mean, the backgrounds were, like, more storybook-esque than, you know, the Disney one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was very cute. It was weird to see a brown bear Winnie the Pooh, though.
That's all they have, so. We don't really have many yellow bears, technically.
No, but we've got the Disney-fied version. Oh, me and my. But Winnie the Pooh, and then, of course, you know, the old Foghorn Leghorn cartoons.
Yes. I love old cartoons. I love, like, the Lulu cartoons. And
I don't know. I've never really been into Little Lulu for the simple fact that, like, somebody described it on some cartooning forum I was on. Like, it's really never been about the characters. Lulu is all about setting up a prop thing. Like, at least the comic strip. It's like...
Wait, not Lulu. The other one. The one where she fell asleep and then she turned into a gingerbread man.
What?
No. Little Audrey, I think that was.
Little Audrey, that's cool.
Little Audrey. Yeah,
I always get them confused.
Yeah, well, 30s era cartoons that aren't really done anymore. Now, see, I really like the old Fleischer cartoons, man. Those were awesome. Especially the ones where they got those little miniature sets for, like, backgrounds. It's like...
That Popeye one where he was Sinbad the Sailor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I thought it was... Wasn't it Popeye was fighting Sinbad the Sailor? Or maybe he was Sinbad.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
No. It might have been Bluto was Sinbad and he was fighting. But it was basically a takeoff of, like, Popeye doing.
You know,
the
funny thing about Bluto, the guy who did the voice for him, can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's actually a really short dude. And if you go on YouTube, there's a video of Walt Disney and I can't remember the guy's name doing. He was doing the voice of Piglet Pete.
Yeah.
And Disney does the voice of Mickey Mouse, and he's like, you know, 6 foot or 5 foot, something, whatever. And this little guy is like barely 5 foot, but he does the big billowy voice. And it's really funny. Like, they had to do, like, a scene where Mickey Mouse, like, gets confronted by Bluto, and Bluto's like, where are you going? He's like, he went that way. And he can't drop his voice down, so, like, they had the guy who did Bluto do it. It's like, see this big guy, this big Walt Disney. He's like, oh, ho, ho, ho. And then look, this little tiny guy, oh, get you. And it's like, this is
kind of like Yosemite Sam syndrome. There, you know, small guy but big voice.
Speaking of voices, and Piglet and Kolchak, just tying it all in together. The guy who did Piglet's voice was in Kolchak as a mortician, and I saw that. And I was like,
was
I know
the,
him.
What was he the creepy mortician?
Was he the one doing the lottery?
Yeah, he was the ghoul with the lottery.
I wish they made him a recurring character, because he was...
They did it for, like, at least two or three episodes, didn't they?
Not in a row. Like, he wasn't... We haven't seen him yet, but he's... Since that one, but like, that guy, the ghoul is what they called him.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, in the... Because I started rewatching the episodes, because I started watching Kolchak with you guys, like, after you've watched a few. I started watching them over, and I remembered it was, like, in the very, like, first TV episode, not the movies, he went to some random informant of his, or, like, you know, source of his. And it's just this guy that he's, like, we call him the monk. And he's just, like, in robes, like, hiding, and all he does is, like, takes his money and points at something.
It's a weird show.
It's,
that's,
yeah!
The characters on that show are just so random sometimes. Like, he's, like, he just pulls out characters in, like, just happen to be in downtown Chicago for whatever reason in these weird costumes or personalities.
Like that guy that got attacked by the swamp monster from the bayou.
Oh, the midget guy who pretended to be our little person. Let's be a PC here. But I think he was going by midget on the show, or we were discussing it. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't Peter Dinklage, but he was a shorter guy than Kolchak. But he was
pretending to be French.
Yeah, he was pretending to be French.
Yeah, that fake French guy was
the fake French guy who fell down the sewer hole.
Essentially.
Yeah,
well, he got abducted in a street, and then they jumped down a sewer.
Yeah,
all in like 2 seconds without making any noise.
What I love is when like the weird celebrity guests are like when there was Scatman Crothers trying to do a Haitian accent. I'm like that's a horrible accent, Scatman, but don't worry, you don't have to do it. It's cool, just be here. That's all that mattered. Oh, speaking of Scatman Crothers, did you guys hear there's going to be a CGI Hong Kong Phooey movie? And you know who's voicing Hong Kong Phooey? Eddie Murphy.
Well,
did they learn anything from Yogi
Bear? No! Actually, you know who did the voice of Yogi Bear? Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I was about to say Dan Aykroyd.
And they picked him because he apparently did a good impersonation of Yogi, which I guess people liked it. Like, I heard actually Yogi Bear was actually, for one of those CGI talking animal horrible pillaging your childhood cartoons, like, it was actually tolerable. Even though
you guys hear they brought back the writers for Smurfs 2? Yeah? Yeah?
What? Hurt, quit, stop airing my head.
What? What?
Okay, Smurfs 2. Like, from what I heard about people going in being surprised about Yogi Bear, they're like, hey, it's surprisingly not horrible. And then Smurfs 2... Everything I kept hearing... Smurfs 1. Everything I kept hearing about the Smurfs... Like, okay, it has Neil Patrick Harris, but he's not voicing a Smurf, and he's playing the guy that the Smurfs move in with for the movie. Oh, no. And then... Yeah. And they basically did He-Man in the Masters of the Universe with it, or Beastmaster 2 with it, or, you know, basically, we can't afford to show you Smurf World, so we're gonna... So we're going to take the Smurfs and plop them into Fish Out of Water story in real world, and it just... Oh, my head. Like, I don't know.
My eyes have gone crossed.
I mean, I don't know. The people... Like, the thing that bothered me is the Smurfs always look too big. Like, I know they've been described as three apples high, but is this supposed to be, like, Granny Smith apples, or are we talking, like, little spider apples? Like, you know... Because on the show, the Smurfs, I always thought they were supposed to be, like, 2 inches tall. Like, they were always looking tiny to me. And then on this, they're in the show, in the movie, they were, like, the size of, like, a cat. And I'm like, that's not right.
I always figured they were, like, 4 inches tall, or, like, just slightly under the size of your hand, depending if you have large hands or not.
Yeah, I've heard they had, like, they just hired all kinds of crazy voice actors to do, like, a second or something. You know, like, they had Wolfgang Puck playing, like... You know, Chef Smurf, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
They're trying to Shrek it. Get all these little jokes in that adults would get.
I just want to punch somebody so bad for this, because it's like, I don't know. But, I mean, as upset as I am about the whole Smurfs thing, it's like, I could see it. I'm surprised it took this long. I mean, sure, eventually we're going to see the Snorks, too, like this. I just know it.
Oh, God.
But the Smurfs, at least, it's like, why not? I figure it's... We got Ivan the Chipmunks. The Smurfs was predominant.
See, it's almost time to cycle back around at the Flintstones.
Well, in my mind, it's like they've been pillaging stuff from my 80s childhood. I'm like, and they've got the Hong Kong Phooey, and they got the Smurfs. I'm like, when do they start moving up? Like, when are we going to see the horrible...
Stuff from the 90s?
When are we going to see, like, the Tiny Toons horrible, horrible movie?
Hidden Temple game show gets turned into an adventure movie.
No, oh my you'll God, never see the good stuff.
But that would be hilarious if they did that. That would. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, for some, like...
Two people looking for the silver snakes suddenly die in like the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Well, I can see if something like suddenly got repicked up because like both nostalgia and like, you know, like if Freakazoid got all of a sudden got reborn, like I could see that working if they brought people back, you know, because it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a long time ago, but still, like those people are still working for the most part. No, most of the people aren't dead with the property like in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, man alive.
A lot of the 90s voice actors I liked are still around. I think, like,
a lot of the 90s voice actors anymore are Billy West. He's the only...
Yeah.
I mean,
but no. Like, I think the only one person who did voice acting that I liked, and he was a good actor too, was Tony Jay, who's no longer around. What voices did he do? Well, he did Megabyte in the reboot series.
Oh, okay.
And he also did Virgil in Mighty Max.
He's not around anymore.
No,
he's
I think
in
he,
a Mighty Mouse movie.
I saw him. He was on an episode of Golden Girls one time as a live actor, and he played a gay art guy.
He was on Briscoe County Jr.
Mm.
Like he's been around, and I think he died like. Was it this year or last year? Like, it was really recent.
I don't know. I'd have to... I mean, there are a lot of people where every time you think that they're dead, and then it's like, wait, no, they're still around. Oh, wait, they're on this TV show right now. Like, the original guy that played Gomez Adams on The Addams Family, like, every so often, my brother and I would be saying, man, I miss that dude. Yeah, it's a shame he's gone. And then he would be on a voice on the cartoon Addams Family. I'm like, I guess he's still around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still alive, but, like, I mean, like, I remember actually looking it up, and was like, are we sure he's dead? I'm pretty sure it was last year, like, he recently died.
I think I might have heard about that.
There was some, like, articles about it, too.
Yeah, because, like, whenever...
he did a lot.
Yeah, whenever a prominent, like, actor/voice actor guy I know of, you know, passes away, I always get kind of bummed for a little bit. I don't know.
Oh.
I just think of that one Something Positive comic where, like, the one guy's like, oh, man, I love today. I don't think anything can go wrong. And then Devin's like, the person who does the voice of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch is 3 years away from his 80th birthday. The average lifespan of a human male is 80 years, which means very likely that in the next 3 years, one part of your childhood is going to die. And you might not realize it at first, but someday, some night, it will hit you, and you will just feel a bit of your soul die. And his friend just, like, turns to him. He's like, why did you do that? I don't know. It was a reflex when he said you were fine.
Yep. Remember that Sesame Street episode where the guy that ran the store died, and they had to explain to Big Bird that he wasn't sleeping, that he was dead, not coming back?
I do not. That sounds traumatic.
Yeah, it was, because I was a child when that was on. I was like, what the crap? Don't explain death to me. Sing me a song about a pony. No. And then, of course, Jim Henson dies, and everyone is heartbroken.
He's not dead. He's on a planet somewhere.
Have you ever seen that picture online of, there's a picture of Jim Henson with the puppet for Kermit in his hand, and then touching the picture is the Kermit the Frog puppet. And I'm just sitting there, like, everyone's half kind of broken up and teary-eyed, and half of it is, he's got his hand up his butt. He's kind of got to be glad that that's not happening right now. I don't know.
Well, now it's a stranger doing it.
Well, actually, the best... you know whose career was helped the most by when Jim Henson passed away? Is the guy who played Bean the Rabbit. Because he took over all the characters that he had. So, because he was the closest to the sounding like Jim Henson.
I thought his sons did it.
I don't know. I mean, I remember when he was actively working, it was he and Frank Oz would swap off on doing Miss Piggy. Now Frank Oz does it, but I don't know what Frank Oz does anymore anyway.
I think he still does voices, but he does other things too. I know.
Well, I think he does
some directing still.
Well, he did that, you know, Little Shop of Horrors movie with the Audrey 2 puppet and all that stuff, but it's like, really, you know, after he's been around for as long as he has, I don't know if he's actively interested in doing much or why. Like, I mean, if he does, good for him, you know.
He was in a lot of those movies made, what was it, in the late 80s with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
those things, yeah.
Yeah, like he was in Trading Places, he was in Coming to America. I think he was in Coming to America, I'd have to check.
I don't know, Coming to America is one of my favorite films. I don't know why, it's not, there's nothing significant, and it's really kind of cheap and corny and savvy, but I really enjoy it.
you know what I found out recently about Coming to America that really made me, like, just, like, laugh and, like, oh my god, that, why didn't I notice this before?
What?
Those two old guys in Trading Places.
Yeah.
Who
I know, and they're
yeah,
in that. Yeah,
they're in there, and he tosses the money, and I'm
yeah,
like,
I've,
oh my,
I've heard
I'm
him
like,
talk
I'd never
about that. They said like these guys, they're like 80 something years old, and, you know, and they're having them in the middle of New York in the middle of winter, and this horrible weather on the ground, and it's like they feel terrible, but they were all about it. They loved it. So.
Yeah, I never like until recently. I never noticed that before. I'm like, wow, they love doing stuff like that.
Tie-in. That was a...
Yeah, I like when movies do smart tie-ins like that.
I just like when a movie intelligently uses Arsenio Hall. Like they had him and Eddie Murphy playing like five characters. Like when they're going to
yeah.
the bar, and he's like, I've seen you and your friend checking me out all night, and I want to tear you apart, and your friend can watch. This is the first date we've been on since the doctor separated us. Did you see that quote from Arsenio Hall recently where he said he wouldn't mind having another show? And I'm like, who just says that? Who just says, I wouldn't mind if somebody gave me a talk show where I could go on national television and spread my... Like, is that really what happened? You just decided you didn't want to do your show anymore? Or it got canceled, Arsenio? How did that happen? His show was really popular and people would go on and hear that whole... And then it just went away. I don't remember what happened to it. Like, I don't remember.
It might have been like a whole flash in the pan thing. Like, when people got sick of it, it just all happened at once. So,
like this whole Simpsons, I didn't do it. Yeah, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
I remember Arsenio Hall as the voice of Winston on the Real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Oh, I loved that cartoon.
Me too, and it still holds up. Like, if you watch the Boogeyman episodes, holy crap, are those terrifying!
Yeah. Oh, what was it? What was the thing they always used? Tobin's Spirit Guide? Was that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love how there's, like, fans who really try to make those, because they were totally, like, made up work. Like, a lot of the times in the Ghostbuster things, like, mm-hmm. and in the commentary, they'll say this, is like, yeah, a lot of times we just made up that psychobabble. Like, completely made up. Like, we don't even realize what we were saying.
Yeah.
And now people just constantly, like, use it for basis of things.
Well, I grew up on the Real Ghostbusters cartoon. It's like, I saw the movies as a kid, but I really latched onto the series more because I didn't... The movies were on TV here and there and stuff, but I really watched the cartoon. I think they fleshed out the world a little bit better. So.
Yeah. Although, I kind of was the same too. Like,
you know,
had seen the movies, but really watched the cartoons.
It's a weird thing. Like, you realize all the equipment kind of turned blue on the show rather than gray, and then all the Ghostbusters costumes were instead of the uniform brown on the, from the movies.
They each had their own color,
except unless you watch the little pilot animation that they did, which they're all just running around. Ah! You know, not much plot, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh. The one episode that I loved that was, like, I thought was absolutely hilarious and meta was when they explained what happened to Janine's accent.
Oh, you mean when we changed your voice actor because half the cast left?
Well, yeah, but then, like, they made an episode to explain it. Oh, yeah, it was with the genie.
Yeah,
thing.
With the whole, like, she'd been transforming herself. That was kind of like a Doctor Who-ism that only...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I feel about these comments where, like, we changed the cast, so we're going to change stuff around, and... I don't know, man. It's... That show.
When they change casts and then just don't explain it at all. Like,
I don't understand.
Iron Man thing.
Well, like the sliders.
When he walked into the courtroom,
well,
he was like,
"Well, one,
not who I expected." He's like, "Well, I'm here. Deal with it."
Well, the thing about the whole Real Ghostbusters thing was, like, they had Lorenzo Music as the voice of Ray. Ray Stantz, and he, you know, voice of Garfield, did all kinds of voice actor work. I don't know what happened.
He did Peter Venkman.
Peter Venkman, that's it. And I know all the characters' names. It's just late at night, and I'm tired. So whatever. But he did that voice, and then he was one of the people that left. Like, the only one that stuck around throughout the entire run was Maurice LaMarche as the voice of Egon.
Yeah.
But you know who they got to replace Lorenzo Music? Dave Coulier.
Hey.
From Full House. And I'm like, weirdest casting decision ever to get, like, especially after you replace Arsenio Hall as Winston to whoever that guy that replaced him was. So you get somebody that's that I kind of know, and you replace somebody that I kind of know with nobody.
I love how, like, you ever heard of, like, this old website called the Conversatron where they had pictures of things being answered by people and they were trying to be witty and stuff? But they had, like, they were talking about how Dave Coulier took the place of Lorenzo Music, and then they were talking about how in the Garfield movie, Bill Murray does the voice of Garfield.
That's been an old commentary. A lot of people are like that. That Lorenzo Music played Garfield, and he also played, you know, Bill Murray's character, and then Bill Murray came in and took. Who's going to voice him in a full budget blockbuster movie except Bill Murray? And it's like, have you seen the CGI Garfield cartoon that's on now?
Yeah.
It's voiced, you know who plays Garfield?
I forget.
Frank Welker.
I'm
sorry. Huh. Like, I love Frank Welker. He also played Ray Stantz on Real Ghostbusters. But the problem is he just sounds really depressed. He doesn't. He has a naturally higher voice, like, so it doesn't. He can't go into these whatever kind of voice. He just sounds like he's really
doing.
Depressed.
Yeah, trying to doing the deep voice for Garfield. He sounds depressed. Yeah. But it might be because he's doing Garfield.
You know, the thing about Frank Welker is, like, my brother and I, we were talking about Scooby Doo one time, and we're like, the only guy who's remained constant on that show was the voice of Freddy. You know, and we're like. Like, over the, like, 3-4 decades, we're like, man, who is this guy? That must be his only gig. And then you see that, like, oh, he's played by Frank Welker? Never mind. That guy does everything. Whenever you hear a monkey in a movie, that's him.
Yeah.
So, he's like, that guy has money to
burn. Wait, was he in Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys?
Probably. If it's a monkey. Because
that was, like, that random, it was, like, the most random, late 90s Saturday, like, early morning cartoon that I started watching. I'm like,
most random. More random than Capital Critters. More random than Biker Mice from Mars. More random than Butt Ugly Martians.
Yeah, I mean, like, it basically was in the same vein of that. It's just, they just randomly mashed things together. But it had so many voice actors on it that I liked. I mean, like, they had Jeff Glenn Bennett doing his best British accent for a crazy orb thing that was supposed to, like in the first episode, it was snooty and very, you know, John Cleese-ish. And, yeah. And then they accidentally crushed it, and they had to fix it. And ever since then, it just was in the same, like, snooty, deadpan British voice saying the most nonsensical things all the time. And it was like one of the best things I loved about that series. And, like, I mean, there was one episode where it was just saying binary.
1101
Yeah,
one,
it was like 0110, like, the entire time, and apparently it was like some formula, which is why it was the whole plot point of the movie, was they were chasing it down because the entire binary code would be this formula. And, like, at some point, like, it's like 0101. Oh, yes, and 01. Like, that was the only other thing it said. was the oh yes, the entire episode.
Oh yes, 1011. That reminds me of one of my favorite jokes I've made up recently. You know how when people say, I don't mean to sound racist, but... And I always wanted to put something that is totally just not related to any kind of racism, like, peanuts are delicious. Like, I don't mean
to sound... racist, but and I shouldn't like fish on pizza.
I don't mean to sound racist, but this chair is comfy. Damn!
And then people will be wondering, how is that racist?
Well, I didn't want to sound racist, that's why I said it.
My chair is made up of ethnic people.
Kind of like that character in the movie Orgasmo who goes, I don't want to sound like a nerd or nothing, but...
Oh, what was his name?
Hey, well, he's Matt Stone, the other half of the voices on the show. So,
yeah.
That, he has... You know, I understand that he probably writes a good amount of stuff, but really, you know, Trey Parker's the one writing, like, a good chunk of that. He's just... I'm sure Matt Stone shows up and... He gives it his all, but there's some days I'm sure he's like, just keep going, Trey. You do your thing. I'm going to ride this puppy. Because, luck. But then again, they also made out in the basketball movie. So you win some, you lose some, I guess. Making out with Trey Parker. I don't know how I feel about that now. Have you guys seen the Book of Mormon musical? I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've heard like the music is actually really, really good. And
really
and,
good. Yeah.
And somehow, despite what you would think is from them, is not terribly sacrilegious.
Well,
not horribly so. Like not
horribly. It's not like it's Cannibal the Musical. So
yeah,
they learn from their first mistakes. Oh boy. Anyway, something else I wanted to bring up and discuss on the show because we are recording this in case we forgot, because we've had such a pleasant conversation so far. I'm going to be attending a comic convention this year. I'm going to be exhibiting at Mid-OhioCon in October. In fact, the actual date for the show is October 22nd through 23rd, Saturday, Sunday. So, it's going to be fun. And I'm mentioning this because I haven't exhibited at a comic convention since 2006, and I am terrified.
It is a comeback of fear.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I don't know the rest of the words, and... I don't know the real version of that song. I just know the one sung by George Washington during that commercial. Because an angry, fat, white guy, I'll buy it. He's wearing a powdered wig and a four-pointed hat. Why not?
George Washington could sell you anything.
I'd buy that for a dollar. I watched the RoboCop movies recently, and it's kind of weird. Like, the first one is actually, like, I don't think they expected it to be really good, but it's really good. Second one, still pretty solid. Third one, Frank Miller was involved in it, and they changed the actor because the first guy was like, no, I don't like wearing that suit, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, what? No! And the one after that, oh my head. Then you've got the TV show for kids, and then...
Oh, yeah, the cartoon.
Not the cartoon, the live-action TV show. It was on, like, UPN or something, if you don't remember, which most people probably don't.
But then, I only remember some things from UPN, like that...
Nowhere Man, Deadly Games with Christopher Lloyd?
I remember Deadly Games. I remember Deadly Games. I liked the concept of Deadly Games, even if it was not the
I love Deadly Games for the simple fact that it was one of my favorite subgenres of 80s and 90s cinema, which is... A computer gets hit by lightning, magic happens.
Yeah.
It's my weakest selling point for me is like, I mean, I don't know why, but whenever I see that in a movie, it's like, okay, I'll watch it. The computer got hit by lightning and now it's a supervillain. Okay, I'll watch it. I don't know why. Because I love it. I can't help it. It's like in the 90s whenever... Computers were vaguely a topic, so like whenever a villain would go into like the cyber zone and cyberspace, and it's like these were written by people who have obviously never actually used the internet.
One of my favorite things is in Hackers when he's hacking the system and all these windows keep popping up, and I'm like, no, you hack, you write hours and hours of code and hope it works.
Oh boy. Well, I don't know. I was a kid that grew up on Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, so...
Oh, God,
I mean,
yes.
I know... I watched a little bit of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but then Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad came up, and for one, it had the voice of Tim Curry.
Yes.
And two, it had the kid who dressed in all black and could draw well, and everybody hated him. I'm like, I am that guy.
I love how those were the villains too. He made him the picture, and Tim Curry brought to life.
It's like, so wait, if you could just like draw anything and make a villain, why don't you just draw a picture of like Freddy Krueger and send that after him? Oh, it has to be kind of vaguely monstrous, kind of like, you know, Godzilla or the Sentai footage or whatever it was they used on Power Rangers. I don't know. I don't know about that show.
The Sentai footage would have made it a very different show.
Well, really. Come on now. We know.
Not too different.
Not
more
too
tentacles, I'm sure.
Well, I liked... It's a weird show. The only thing most people remember about Samurai Cyber Squad or... It's just, I like how they had cyber with an S because they had to make it all alliterative. But the only thing people remember is in the credits the show said, let's kick some gigabutt.
No, see, I had the toys to that, though. Because I love those.
I don't remember the toys. I remember that the main guy became he had a wrist thing, and when he got sucked into the computer, he was like Voltron. People were climbing around inside of him, flying him. I'm like, what?
Apparently, the toys were really hard to find, but I love how they worked
like
so
VHS.
Much. He became like the giant Ultraman thing, and then his friends drove these vehicles that at times were like could fly apart. Or join together into a bigger vehicle, or join into a robot, or break apart and like go over him as armor.
Oh man!
And for me, who loves Transformers and stuff like that. To me, that was just like, oh my god, I must have these.
It's a weird show. Like I remember one episode where he was telling the cheerleader girl how she was gonna pose for him and let him draw him, and she was like, no way, creep. And then he put her into a computer disk and paused her. Moving so he could draw. I'm like, really? Is that all he's gonna do? Come on, really? Yeah, but
that's all they could show.
Yeah, but you know that last episode on the show, which should we spoil it? It's been 20 years.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Spoilers.
Well, last episode is kind of like it wasn't as horrifyingly weird as the last episode of David the Gnome or anything, but the last episode of this one was the evil, what was the bad guy's name? What was it, like Kilobyte, Kublai Khan, something like that. He was like, one of the monsters actually worked, and so he decided he was going to destroy the world, and Malcolm Frink was like, what? I'm part of the world. You can't destroy it. I was just going to let you, like, hack some stuff. He's like, nope, go ruin the world. So they had to team together and fight the bad guy. But then, like, they were like, man, if this had been a different world, we could have been friends. And then they saved the day, and everybody's memory gets wiped. So they go, they're like, man, why are we hanging out? This isn't right. And he goes back home, and he's like, oh, my computer crashed. And he brings out the backup, and there's the bad guy again. He's like, oh, hi. And it's like, the cycle starts all over again.
It was Mighty Max.
Oh, man, it was, yeah. Well, you remember how David the Gnome ended, right? Like, they all turned into trees or something, and the fox ran off with a female fox.
But wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... But no,
there were a lot of weird shows in the 80s.
I liked the Mighty Max episode, though, because it also had...
It was a reboot, yeah.
And it was Virgil being Virgil, where, like, he gets the thing again, and he's like, come to the blah, 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 and then there's a little thing, and he's like, and this time don't be late.
Yeah.
Like, everyone realizes, oh, it's a reboot, oh well. Like, everyone still has memories of it.
There was a show I used to watch as a child on Nick Jr. called Noozles. It was I think it became later known as either Koala Koala or Adventures of the Koala. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, was that the one like
they had a stuffed, well, it looked like a stuffed koala bear, but it was really an alien creature that if the girl touched her nose to it, it would come to life, and then its alternate dimension sister would show up with its magic lipstick to draw a portal, and then they would go into a koala world, but the girl had to wear a koala mask on her face, and then they were keeping her grandfather's soul trapped in a bubble. And I'm just like, what the crap am I watching? I am a child. This is not right.
That wasn't some there was a part random where she's anime like, they got.
My grandpa's soul is trapped in this bubble. No. Well, we gotta go now. Time to go. Back to having our crazy adventures. I'm like, what the crap? And then...
There was another koala show, though, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of weird shows like that. As long as we're mentioning cheesy 80s shows, did you guys ever watch Fantastic Max?
Yeah, actually. I'm trying to remember.
I'm out of the loop on this.
It was an old 80s show. It was an 80s show about
a little baby
who had a toy alien that, with a pull string that actually was a real alien, and he had a robot butler, and they would get into a rocket and fly into space and have all kinds of space adventures. The theme song to the show had 2-ply diapers like 4 times as a lyric. I'm like, they're really running out of things to say about this Fantastic Max kid.
Yeah,
I was only up to age 6 in the 80s.
Oh, well. I was born in 82, so.
And I was born in 81, so.
I just remember all these weird things that, like, as an adult, yeah. I think back and go, wait, what? Like, there was, was it Maya the Bee? There was a weird show where they had a bee character, and, like, she would interact with all these insect creatures in the woods and everything, but, like, they would have realistic consequences. Like, there was one episode where she stumbled upon, like, a creature laying its eggs inside the egg nest of another one so that when its babies hatched that it could eat the... eat the larvae of the other creature. I'm like, what the
fuck? That's just nature, though.
I'm like, yeah, but this is like for 5-year-olds. What?
Oh, but see, that was an anime series they picked up and translated. And there's one thing I've noticed. Yeah, Japan.
The thing is, I never intentionally knew or intentionally watched anime as a kid because...
Me neither.
The only one I intentionally really liked was Grimm's Fairy Tale Classics. Because it had dark endings. It would have a good episode, a good ending, and then there would be one where all the characters had their comeuppance, and I'm just like, you know, I like this. They have bad endings. No shows have these anymore because it's the 80s, and it's like, everything has to be positive for youth, and it's like, no, Japan doesn't care.
And for some reason, I remember there was this one with this witch that would roam the town as a cat, and like a dog tried to chase it down, and the witch turned it into a mouse. And then ate it.
Well, that's similar to the Puss in Boots episode.
Yeah, but no. I mean, I just remember that one scene specifically was like really got to me, and I'm like, what? Why?
Well, they always did like, you know, whenever there was a threatening character, like the entire frame would freeze except for speed lines and crazy face. It's like, what the? I'm like, I don't get anime. I'm sorry. So, anyways. So, internet and webcomics. No. I'm going to be at Mid-Ohio Con, which I've been to the show once to check it out, and apparently this year they got bought out by Wizard. So I'm kind of, I don't know what to expect. I've been to Wizard. Does Wizard do San Diego Comic Con, or is that somebody else? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I know there's Wizard World. I know Wizard World Chicago just happened, and a lot of people weren't too happy about that. I don't know. I don't know how Mid-Ohio... And, like, it could be great. It could be... Like, I mean, I'm in Ohio. There's really not much here con-wise. Like,
there's not much... I'm in Montana.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
There's, like, 3 cities in the state.
Well, that's Ohio, really. We've got the 3 C's. You know, if you've been to Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, that's really about it. If you're not in one of those, you're in cornfields and Amish country.
I think I've been to Parma.
What?
I think I've been to Parma in Ohio.
Well, Parma is really a suburb of Cleveland, so it's...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I'm just trying to remember the song, some of the names from that song. Moon over Parma.
I thought you were gonna do that Cleveland Rocks theme.
No. But I mean, like a lot of apparently when my brother was, and I didn't know this, but my parents told me this, was like when he was he did travel hockey, and basically I just, you know, because I was young, they couldn't just leave me at home. I tagged along, so we like spent a lot of time in like hotels, and I just ran around the rinks breaking things, and Apparently, a lot of it went through a lot of those suburbs in Ohio. So, like we were listening to the song once, and my mom was like, "You know, you've been to a lot of those places." I'm like, "What? You know, like Parma and was that some of the others like Solon and like all those names?" He's like, "Yeah, we've been there for hockey. You know, like so you've been to like almost all of them." I'm like, "I don't remember this. All I remember are ice rinks."
Yeah, I don't know. I've got friends from Parma, and it's like the main reason I go is IHOP. The nearest there's like two IHOPs around here, and they're both up in Cleveland in like Parma. It's like I get these commercials for IHOP and stuff, and it's like I've got to go all the way up there or leave the state. There's IHOP. It's like, you know, it's mostly an upper class Denny's is really what it is, but I love it. And it's like, after a concert, there is no holier quest than for IHOP. It's like when Harold and Kumar going for White Castle. You just, like, must obtain IHOP.
It is true.
It was funny to have two IHOPs that were within driving distance of each other. The last time I went to a concert in Cleveland, we went to one, and they were having, like, the floors vacuumed and carpeted or steam cleaned or something, so they weren't open. We were like, what? Must go to the other. Must quest. And everyone else in the car was like, you know, we weren't too crazy about it in the beginning, but now, man, you're making us want it. So
we're going to... I used to go to IHOP every day, every Friday after the Rocky Horror Show.
Lucky.
And they implemented a rule where they closed the lobby at a certain time, like after Rocky got out, just because we were so loud. It's the only place you can eat pancakes, because if you make them at home, you make like 40 pancakes and eat one.
Well, the thing about IHOP, even if they mess up your order, I'm still going to eat it. Like, I ordered one time, like, I ordered the, like, I think it was like a black bean, veggie, something or other, and I told them no jalapenos, and they brought them anyway, and it was delicious. I don't care. I just, like...
They knew it was good for you.
I don't know why, but IHOP seems to be the only place I can consistently get crepes. And I don't know why that I find that why I like it so much, but it, like the last time I actually like ate a crepe that wasn't from IHOP was when I was in Japan, and that was like way long ago
in the before times,
like middle of high school.
Well, that was a long time ago because my high school class is trying to have their 10-year reunion. Yeah. And which is funny, like, everyone got on Facebook, they're like, how come we haven't had our 10-year reunion? I don't know, the guy who's running it kind of, like, he disappeared or he's doing something, he just said, whatever, you guys do your own thing, and so they all got together and planned one out.
My student body government is completely shit, so I'm never going to have a reunion.
Mine, like, I don't know, they've been wanting a 10-year reunion since, like, before we graduated. Everyone was talking about, like, oh, it's going to be great, we're going to have this and that, and, like, we're all friends on Facebook anyway. Like, literally, like, 200 people each on your Facebook friend list. It's like, what's it matter? We don't...
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, I live in the same town as a lot of these people, and I don't see any of them.
Me neither, but I'm, like, a horrible hermit. I don't go outside my house very much.
Oh, you want to hermitness, man. I've been working on bringing back my webcomic, which I've been laxed on for a long time because of other stuff, and I've been just spending time trying to finish the sub-chapter and get a book ready. Well, it's like, the idea was, it's going to be like, I think, when I plotted out, was three main chapters, and then each one was going to be like a bunch of sub-chapters, so there's like 1.1, and then each page number is like 1 through 10, so it'd be like 1.1.1, 1.1.2, you know. Yeah, it's going to make each of those into like a little floppy comic book, and then when each chapter gets done, print that into a book, and then the whole thing gets done, print that into a big book.
That's very complicated.
Complicated schemes, yes, but
pyramid schemes, more like.
Yes. I don't know. It's just I realized, like, I figured, like, every time I think, okay, I'm gonna do this and make it easy on myself, and then I start doing stuff to make stuff hard, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I drawing... Like, recently I posted on Tumblr some pictures of this background I was working on, where I don't know why I spend time detailing stuff that's probably either going to get covered with text, or the characters are going to stand in front of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of times when I do stuff like that. Not artistic-wise, but I just make things harder than I am. I don't know what it is. It's for... I think it has something to do with... enjoying planning more than actually doing.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I don't know.
A lot of people, they got that project that they're going to start, and as soon as they move past the planning, it's like, okay, now we got to start work. All right, let's go plan this next project. Like, wait, you didn't actually do the work. Well, that's not the fun part.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. I love lists and charts. And...
So, yeah.
My problem has always been, like, when I've teamed up with people trying to do things before, and, like, they're like, okay, we're going to do this, and I come to it with advice like, hey, guys, if we're going to do this, we need to do these things. Like, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're just going to half-ass it, and then we're going to just forget about our stuff, and then when it falls apart, we're going to either start something new or say, well, too bad, I'm shutting it down. Like, you guys didn't put any time into this. So I kind of pretty much resolved to do stuff by myself and then spend forever working on two or three things, and, like, I just recently started putting stuff on my web store. I haven't put anything for shipping yet because I'm still trying to figure out what I want to charge for everything and how taxes are going to go, and I'm like, oh no, I don't really know how to do this. You know what I think was the real incentive for me to start going to conventions again was I got a thing in the mail. I had in 2006 when I went to a convention around here, I went to the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo Space. I went to that and I sold like a few things. It didn't really pan out, and I had a vendor's license. And as long as you kept telling them that you didn't sell anything that year, you could renew it. Well, that kept going for a while until they changed it so you had to file it online that you didn't fill anything. And they said, well, you've had this for so many years and you haven't sold anything. You don't need this license, so either we're going to either send us the last day that you've made a purchase or we're going to cancel it. And like, all right, cancel it, whatever. And it's like after it's been canceled, I'm like, well, I kind of want to do cons again now. Now that like, now that somebody told me that I shouldn't, it's like, well, now I want to.
See, I've gone to cons, but I've never gone as, like, as...
an exhibitor?
Yeah, I've only gone as a participant and stuff like that. But it's been funny because there was, like, a time where I went to Otakon pretty regularly. And at that time, I also was working at Suncoast, which... I feel bad about because that was like my favorite job I ever had, that working in a video store. And like I was there when we like really Suncoast was still like was like one of the only places that you could really get anime like of anything
back in the day before anime was as fruitful as
yeah, I mean, but one of the funny things was like looking through the and unfortunately because they had anime and I spent half my paycheck always back at the store, but one thing I found they had was these visual novel kind of things. Like they had these play CDs where like it worked like the visual novels where like they had the voice actors like
so
saying
like
stuff
motion
and
comics
like,
or
yeah like I don't know if you ever seen like the online like. I guess like online dating or the Japanese dating sims, not the X-rated ones, but normal ones.
the normal ones.
Because there's some that actually exist out there. But they had like these, you know, CDs that worked like that, and like apparently they were all being produced by this one group called Hiramaki, and they had like, and some of them were like actually interesting. There was this one that was like called Hourglass of Time that was really complicated. Like apparently the main character just kept following through time, and you had to figure out like at one point you find out like you find yourself like weeks and weeks in advance, and you find out your girlfriend died, and then the next day you wake up and you realize, wait, I don't have a girlfriend. And like it, and the entire series is like you bouncing back and forth, finding out some horrible things happening, and you go back and then wake up before it happens, and you're like, how am I going to stop this? And it was really weird and complicated, but like one year at Otakon, they had a booth, and I went and started talking to the guy. I told him, I was like, oh, I work at Suncoast, and I like had a lot of fun. He's like, oh yeah, he's like one of our biggest like distributors and stuff. Like, here, you can have these games for free, and like gave me like some of the random ones there. And then, and I don't know why, but apparently like he remembered me. Like, so next year I'm like, hi. And he's like, oh, I remember you. Here, have some more free games.
You're the only person that actually comes to our boot.
I don't... You'd
be surprised the stuff you can get at conventions. Like, when I went to San Diego Comic-Con one day, my friend Kyle, who went, he was just basically on the roam for free stuff. It didn't matter if it was stuff he was interested in, but he figured either one of us would like it or we could just give it to somebody, which we did. But he came back one day with the soundtrack to Destroyer Humans. The soundtrack to the video game. Which we...
Wow.
I was like, this is random, and I also love it, so...
Yeah, and a lot of people have like, said because of this and other things that it's like my unknown superpower. Apparently, I'm such a good customer that the servers just give me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, this is like three or four times... friends have watched me like go and purchase something, and like some random stuff or other things were this, or I get in conversation with this, and I end up like getting a huge deal or like five or six extra things for it.
Well, it might be that, but you also have to remember that half the time when people give stuff away at booths and stuff, it's because this is the stuff that ain't moving, and I don't want to have to ship this back to the from the hotel and stuff to my house. So here you go.
Yeah, I meant, like, not just at conventions, but, like, at actual stores and stuff. Like, I once bought a PSP game for, you remember Dissidia? Like, that crazy Final Fantasy fighting game?
Where,
like,
I'm not like, a big Final Fantasy guy, so...
It's really insane, but it's basically, like, a horrible... Someone basically made a fanfic where all the FF characters met. And that's what this is. But it's a fighting game, so it doesn't really matter. No one really cares about plot when you can have like Sephiroth attacking Jack. So, but apparently, like when I went to get the game, there was like a long line. There was all this kind of stuff and crap and like this. And even when I actually got it, there was all this kind of stuff. And the guy's like, you know, you've been very patient. Here, have this like the special limited edition cover that we were giving out to pre-orders. That one of the pre-orders didn't pick this up. You can have this. And here's a little pamphlet. Like little stuff that came with it that, you know, only people who actually like
pre-orders.
Like, yeah, and he's like, it's like, God, you know, like, because I feel bad at this, and so they just gave me like all this free stuff that you would, and like if you didn't pre-order the game, you would have to go to eBay and like pay like 40 to 50 bucks for.
Skype is trying to eat your voice, so
oh, sorry.
But anyway, yeah, pre-orders. The only time I've ever done any pre-ordering was like, you know, I told you I got the soundtrack to Destroyer Humans, right? The second one came out, and I was like, oh man, I've got to get in on this. And they were having a pre-order thing where if you pre-order it, you get, like, the first level of the game or whatever. So I pre-ordered that, and, like, the game finally came out. I never even finished it. Like, I think I got tired of the mission was get this hippie poster artist to feel better about himself so he makes a poster for your revolution. I'm like, I don't care that much about stroking this guy's ego. I'm sorry, game. And then the next one came out on the Wii, so it was a Wii exclusive, and I got that, and they changed the voice actors around, and I was...
Do that sometimes.
They made... Like, the weird thing was, like, you figure, oh, this is great, you can just point the thing at the screen, it'll recognize your controls, so this is going to be awesome. And they made... Did you just blow your nose?
No, I was trying to hold back...
Hold back the laughter. You think it's going to be awesome, and then they made things more complicated. Not only to select the weapon, not only did you have to select it, but you also had to do target practice and shoot some flying object during... I'm like, are you serious? Every time I switch to the gun, I've got to go and try and find the thing and go zap that thing. Okay, and then we can go back to my epic space battle. Why?
Wait, so they basically made a mini game
in
to
the
switch
control,
the weapons?
Yeah, in the switch, like the previous, like the first game, like was a they like the first two, like they switched it before, like the one way was easier, the other was kind of harder, and I was like, I hope they swap back, and then. They made that where you had to do target practice to switch to the ray gun, and I'm like, what the heck? Why? You would do that once and get tired of it. I don't want to do that every time. And yeah, I never finished that one. Then the other one was on Xbox, and I don't have an Xbox, so I don't know. I did enjoy having the voice of the Angry Beavers and Invader Zim as the voice of the Furon Commander. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was great.
It had good voice actors, the first two.
Mm. And Posh is quiet, so she probably never played the game.
No.
No, don't care. Is there anything you'd like to discuss? I mean, we're sorry if we're Dory and I are hoarding the whole concept, but
you guys are going off on your all sorts of things there.
Well, as long as you're enjoying the conversation. One thing I found out about the convention, I was looking at the list of people who are going to be at the show, and apparently a lot of them are three times I found people that were involved in the Kolchak comics are going to be exhibiting at the show. So, like, really? You see, a picture is like, here's a two-page spread of Kolchak looking all, I'm like, what?
Well, when I went to pick up some comics recently, like, I actually asked them, hey, do you happen to have any back issues with the Kolchak comic? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's produced by Moonstone. I'm like, yeah, they're not very punctual. So he's like, yeah, so they're not even doing a current Kolchak, so, or anything like that, right? And I'm like, nah, we don't think so. And even if they did, you wouldn't know for a while.
Comic book regularities. Well, I mean, that just makes me think back to Rob Liefeld and how, you know, whenever books were late and, like, a lot of the news recently about the whole, like, getting rid of all these, you know, staffers, but making sure that he had a job and had a title. And I found on YouTube recently, he posted a video of himself drawing while driving and filming the video by himself. So he's at the wheel, he had his drawing pad in his lap, and he's also working the camera, and he's like, there's the road, here's me, sun's coming up, and I'm like, well, you know, you can't fault the guy. He's at least trying to put that book out on time. Not doing the smartest things for it. Because that would be the greatest thing to, like, if there was some, like, if he got into an accident and it was in the paper, and then they found that video, and it's like, this is incriminating evidence. But also, they having to explain it in the newspaper, comic artist found drawing while driving causes accident, flies through windshield of his car.
Flash through windshield through the entire bus of school children out the front.
Comic still will drawing. Be comic will be de- won't be delayed. Still drawing in hospital bed.
Picks up an arm of somebody nearby and starts drawing.
He posted a his. If you've ever bothered to look at Rob Liefeld's YouTube channel, he's got some entertaining vids. Like, it's supposed to be behind the scenes stuff for fans of his, but if you've known any of his, like, whenever any of his weird stuff happens, like, he had a video about when he drew Captain America one time, and you probably know the picture where he drew Captain America with this huge rack, like, it's not even pecs, it's boobs. It's at this weird angle, like it's at the side, but the boobs are, like, coming at the camera, so and, like, he said he finished it, like, 2 in the morning, and Jim Lee called him. He's like, you're going to have to do something about this. This ain't right. And he's like, no, it's fine. And then later he's like, yeah, I screwed up. I gave Cat big boobs. I'm sorry. It just happens, man.
It makes me think of that pose that, do you, either of you follow Kate Beaton?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's the woman pose where her butt and her boobs are both facing the camera.
There's a billboard. The boob butt.
Yeah, the boob butt, where there's a billboard of a woman selling jeans, like cowboy jeans or something, and she's doing that pose. But now, it's on a highway, can't take a picture of it.
Is she doing it, or is it a Photoshop?
No, she's doing it.
Okay.
Like, it's not her full rack, but it's like, you can see the other side of the boob, and her butt is full on.
How do you turn? That's like, I don't know. I mean,
you must be missing some vertebrae to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's taken out.
Well, I don't know. It's like, I really bet, you know, that somebody told her to pose like that. Somebody said, can you turn a little bit this way, now turn that way. Like, the Egyptians would have, you know, the most information of the upper half of the body, but then the lower half would be turned to the right. You know, that makes sense. That was an idealized thing. But when it's a photo, there's a real human being going,
Like, you can tell she's bending as far as she can. Like, you can't twist any more than that.
Did you see that picture that was floating around the internet from the webcomics convention website that, like, a woman cartoonist drawing, and she's got her, like, butt tilted, and she's drawing the thing on her knee, and, like, I think it was the Hijinks and Sue guy. They tried it in real life, and they're like, "Ow, can't sit like this." And then there's a picture of like a. I found a picture on some on Tumblr somewhere of like an old 40s cartoonist, like, you can draw cartoons, and he's got like three women in his lap and he's smoking a pipe, and it's like, men draw like this, women draw like this. Oh me, oh my. Well, I kind of want to start exhibiting at shows again. Like I said, I went to the one show in 2006, and it was a small show. Like, most of the people there were also trying to sell stuff. There weren't a lot of, you know, just audience. And then I've attended Mid-OhioCon just to get a feel for it, and I don't know. I attended a panel with Tom Baddock, the guy who does Crankshaft and Funky Weaker Bean, and the whole panel was basically like, man, screw the newspapers. They're always trying to keep us from doing our thing. We want to tell stories. Yeah, man, you got to fight the power. And I'm just like, you're the guy with Funky Weaker Cancer? I don't know. It was an interesting panel, though. But yeah, it's kind of bigger, and I don't know, especially since Wizards taking it over, I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm hoping it doesn't happen like Chicago. I hope it's actually very popular and everything goes good. But I hope it's not too big, and I show up with my couple of books and get freaked out and go, oh no.
I hope it starts off slow, and then hundreds and hundreds of people just start swarming your booth.
Well, no, nobody's going to do that. Everyone's going to go, who are you? Okay, that's nice. Let me go take a look at Jim Lee over
here. They will swarm. I will send out a flash mob to swarm you.
Oh, no. I don't know. I hope to have, like, three of my... the webcomic I'm doing now, 2071, I'm hoping to have at least three books done of it. Like, I've been working on chapter 1.1 right now, so I've got the prologue and I've got chapter 1.0. Those are done. I just have to do, like, covers and a couple things to even out the page numbers so they print properly. Because they're like, oh, you have to have an even multiples of four pages or whatever. It's like, okay, fine.
I like how graphic novels usually do that by just sticking in some random art, and they're like, yeah, we needed another page.
Well, with this one, since it's an ongoing story, I'm going to have previously on it. Continue reading next time, you know, because the whole thing is like it's a space opera epic retro comic. It's supposed to harken back to Buck Rogers kind of stuff and really play up on that. So I don't know, but I've been trying to do this chapter for so long. I just want to get it done and drawn, and then I've got to do the next one. But I'm gonna have three books. I'm hoping to have three floppy books of that, and then I've got a book. I had at the 06 convention, I had printed up a storyline from my first comic, TownieseComics.com, in case you want to check it out. Plug.
I tried to.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of out of date now, because I haven't moved that comic forward, I haven't done anything with it since, I don't even remember, 2010 maybe. So, and then I had a little mini comic printed up of this character I've got, who his name's Toddy, and he has a fantastical imagination, so he thinks he's fighting monsters and dinosaurs and all kinds of stuff. And I had it printed up for the convention. My cat is attacking my corkboard. I'm gonna have to kick her little butt. But I had it printed up for the convention, but it didn't arrive in time, so. So that was, yeah, I had the one book, and I didn't have anything else at the table. I didn't even have a tablecloth, and I was like, man, I feel... a whole show, I was like, everyone was like...
The tablecloth would have really brought it together.
Yeah, the guy next to me was like, he had a whole bunch of stuff, and I was like, man, I feel kind of sad having, barely have anything, and you've got all this. He's like, that's all right, man, it's cool. So next con, I want to have a lot of stuff printed up and ready, so we'll see. And I'd like to do flip books and stuff, but, like... I don't know how that's going to go yet, because I trained in animation. That's what I really wanted to be, was an animator, but it's also a lot of work, so... So, I don't know.
People keep telling me about, like...
Kitty! What the... Cat! I didn't get up... I'm pinned to the computer, and I can't kick her butt, and she climbed up on the corkboard and climbed up into the space in the ceiling.
So now your cat's in the ceiling?
Yeah.
Ceiling cat?
No, because I don't have the paneling. It's just exposed to the hardwood floor up above. The listeners are going to enjoy listening to me having to whoop my cat's butt after this show. I just know. Anyway, I think I should let you guys go, and we should go all grab our food and then gather together for Skype flicks. So, oh, now she can't get down. She's like, "How do I get down from here?" Like, well, that's what you get. Now I gotta keep her from hurting
herself.
Just
hand her a bundle of rope. Don't even unroll it.
I guess I gotta help her get down now. So I'll be so. This
well,
has been
guess
quite.
That ends it.
So what a way to end our this episode with
a cat stuck in the ceiling.
Yeah. So
a cat emergency.
Yeah, just watch my Twitter, guys, for when I post this on the site. I'll probably edit it down, but.
Yeah.
Cat getting stuck in the ceiling is the high point of the episode in the last 3 minutes of the show. So you guys have a nice night. We'll reconvene for Skype flicks in
some minutes.
Well, you're the one, you know, showboating the whole thing, Posh, so just let us know.
Alrighty. Okay. We'll do.
Alright, so this is, you've been listening to the No Rights Productions podcast. I'm Ben, and my co-host Dory and Amanda, or Jordan, Amanda, Posh, but...
Jordan, Amanda? Jordanda?
Oh, she got down without perking anything. I'm still going to whoop her butt, though. Anyway.
Oh, cats and big figures.
But yeah, I'm surprised we weren't able to go on this long with nothing pre-planned other than what I threw together.
Cartoons, man. It brings us together.
We all just like talking about Kolchak, because that's all that happened.
You know, cartoons. I got... And just in the last minute, I gotta say, I think it was very good that I actually did not mention ponies up until now.
Oh, God. Now, if Shannon was listening, she's tuning out right now because she and I, we don't care.
Yeah, I know.
We
but
don't
I'm just saying, I'm very proud of myself for not somehow mentioning it.
Congratulations.
Medal is in the mail.
NoRightsProductions.com. Don't forget to follow Ben on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights.